Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Deborah Becker, how you doing?
How are you, Daryl?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. You know, glad to be sitting here talking to you. What's it like, your second time on The Common now?
I think so. I think it is the second time. Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah, same here. So let's get into it. Deb, you've got a story for us about a bill that would allow people to be committed to outpatient mental health treatment under court order. Today, Massachusetts is one of only three states that does not have a law on the books allowing what's known as assisted outpatient mental health treatment or involuntary outpatient treatment. This type of court-ordered program has proven to be pretty controversial among mental health advocates in the state, and many are opposed to it. Deb, you're going to tell us all about this legislation and the arguments for and against it. But before we get to that, your story starts with a woman named Rachel Capucci. Tell us about her.
Well, Rachel is a young woman who lives in Shrewsbury, and she tried to get mental health treatment for her brother, Brad. He developed schizophrenia in his late 20s, and that's typically the time that this mental health disorder develops. He had been thriving up until that point. You know, he was an honor student. He graduated from college. He was working, living on his own, but he lost his job, and he moved back in with his mother, and he just continued to deteriorate mentally. Rachel said she and her mom tried to find resources or get therapy, and he insisted there was nothing wrong with him. He was taking a break. He was fine. Eventually, they involuntarily committed Brad to psychiatric facilities a few times. Now, this is done under a law known as Section 12, and that's where someone can ask a judge to commit a person for a psychiatric evaluation, and then if the evaluation indicates that it's needed, they could be committed to treatment. But in Brad's case, the judges would release him after short stays because they determined that he didn't meet the legal standard for a commitment, which was that he pose a harm to himself or others. So Rachel and her mom were still watching this deterioration. They said he was completely erratic, he was bruising himself, he wouldn't let people look at him. She said there was no rational conversation with him at all. So they tried to commit him again in 2019. And again, he was released after a short time. And he said he was going west for a job. They didn't hear from him for months. And then in 2021, police called to tell them that Brad's remains were found outside Yellowstone National Park in the woods where he apparently had been living. And Rachel told me that her brother died of hypothermia, but also she feels that he died because he didn't get help. This is what she said.
He didn't want to die, I know that, but there was no place for him. He was homeless, you know, and that's the harsh truth. He was loved and he needed help. Nobody wanted to help.
Daryl, Rachel said she believes there should be options, other options, aside from commitment to a psychiatric facility for people who are trying to get mental health treatment for a loved one, especially a loved one who maybe doesn't understand the extent of their illness. So she wonders if involuntary outpatient commitment might have helped. And that, as you mentioned in the beginning, is where someone can ask the court to mandate mental health care in the community.
What does Rachel's family experience tell us about the argument in favor of assisted outpatient treatment?
Well, I mean, folks say it might help people like Brad get into treatment. A judge's authority sometimes forces people to stay in treatment. You know, the proponents say that if Massachusetts had an involuntary commitment law on the books, perhaps that would reduce incarceration, homelessness, and tragedies like Brad. So they think that it could be another option to try to deal with the increasing number of people with serious mental illness who are entangled in the criminal legal system. I mean, that's been going on for years. There's no secret that that's a problem. But the question is how best to address it. And so State Senator Cindy Friedman has renewed the legislative push to allow involuntary outpatient commitment in Massachusetts.
Deb, what does this idea of assisted outpatient mental health treatment look like in practice?
Well, as we mentioned, Massachusetts is one of three states that does not allow it. And in the others that do, it can look different. But basically, it allows someone to go to a judge and say, this person needs mental health care. They're not getting therapy, not getting counseling, not taking their medications. And a judge can mandate that treatment. And the person would have to report to court with the provider and go over how they're complying with their treatment and whether it needs to be adjusted for them to be successful.
Have we seen anything even close to this attempted in the state?
Well, right now, there is a program that many folks point to as an example of what involuntary outpatient commitment might look like. And this is a pilot program known as the BOAT program, for Boston Outpatient Assisted Treatment Program. And this is run by Boston Medical Center and Boston Municipal Court. But it's a voluntary program, so we need to say that. And it's also for those facing criminal charges in Boston Municipal Court. Those who have a serious mental illness and are facing charges can apply to become part of this program. And if they're accepted, they get extensive services, counseling, psychiatric services, coaching, housing assistance. And if they successfully complete their treatment and they're doing well, their criminal charges could be dropped. And since it started in 2020, 163 people have participated in the BOAT program. 31 have graduated, but it's largely funded with a $4 million four-year federal grant that allows for these extensive services. On average, about four Boston Medical Center clinicians work with each participant.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Deb.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. Okay, so Deb, we have this bill that supports assisted outpatient mental health treatment, but not everyone agrees, right? What are opponents saying?
Well, the pushback is really strong. It's basically almost every mental health advocacy group in the state is opposed. It's fierce. The thrust of their arguments would be they don't think it's effective. They say it doesn't work. They point to studies showing that it doesn't help most patients, and it's disproportionately used for people of color. One of the advocates I spoke with is Rick Glassman, the Disability Law Center, and this is one of the reasons why he says forced treatment doesn't work.
It's coercive, it interferes with personal dignity and human rights, and it forces providers to become probation officers, and it disrupts therapeutic relationships.
So basically what Glassman is saying there is that this is not a therapeutic relationship if a provider has to report to a judge what a person is doing in their mental health treatment. He said it takes away a patient's agency. And there are many folks I spoke with about this, groups like the Wildflower Alliance, the Mental Health Legal Advisors Committee, the Massachusetts Psychiatric Rehabilitation Consortium, even the Committee for Public Counsel Services, the state's public defender agency. They say the courts don't have the resources to oversee something like this. And so there's a lot of pushback against this proposal right now.
Massachusetts is one of only three states that does not have a law like this on the books. What do we know about the effectiveness of court-ordered outpatient mental health treatment from the states that do allow it?
Yeah. Well, the research is mixed, really. I mean, there are states who have seen decreases in hospitalization and incarceration. Others say there's been no improvement in treatment compliance or in their hospitalization rates. So there really isn't a conclusive picture, from the research anyway, of the effectiveness of outpatient treatment. And it's also like comparing apples to oranges, because there are so many different ways in which assisted outpatient treatment is in place in these states. But there was a task force, a national task force on the courts and mental health, that issued a report late last year. And I spoke with Susan McMahon, who's an assistant professor at Arizona State University, and she consulted with the task force. And I said, how would you summarize this research that we have? And what would you say is sort of the conclusive picture here? And unfortunately, especially for journalists, she said, there is not a conclusive picture. This is how she explained it.
So the question that a lot of people still have and hasn't really been answered is, has it been successful because of the court-ordered component of it, or is it successful because people have access to these wraparound services that they otherwise wouldn't have?
So Daryl, again, it comes down to the details. How would a program like this be implemented? How would patients' rights be protected? Would there be enough services, and how would they be paid for? And how, in Massachusetts specifically, the new behavioral health roadmap, which is the Baker administration's massive effort to improve mental health services and more emergency mental health care, how would that even affect the need for involuntary commitments? So there's a lot to sort out.
When will this bill be taken up, and what sort of support do we expect to see for it on Beacon Hill?
Yeah, well, the bill will be up for a hearing at this legislative session, and of course, you know, fierce debate likely. Some groups are already planning rallies at the State House this spring to oppose this legislation. And there's also a relatively new group of Massachusetts residents called AOT Now, standing for Assisted Outpatient Treatment Now. And that, of course, is going to rally lawmakers to support this kind of legislation. So it's not clear at all where this might go, but both sides have definitely galvanized on this.
What will you be looking out for moving forward?
I think I'll be looking out to see if the legislation is modified at all and how it might be modified to try to address some of the concerns that have been brought forward.
Understood. Well, Deb, thank you so very much for taking the time to talk with us. This is a really important story, so thank you.
You're welcome.
That's WBUR reporter Deborah Becker. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on mental health care in Massachusetts, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.